saving money on everything for your next project. Now at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes. Whether you're pouring a walkway, concrete slab, or setting a post, we have the right product at the best price to complete your project. Shop our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Talking Titans, and to help us do that, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Dodd and Chase, also handles the Nashville Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on? How are we doing?
When they're playing, I do that.
Well, they do, yeah. Well, yeah. That is a necessary step to hosting a pre-game and post-game show.
Yeah, this week, not so much.
not
so much.
Not a whole lot of stick and puck going out there for the Nashville Predators this week. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes there. And I do want to get your thoughts on the Titans as we begin here. An ugly 19-13 loss yesterday. They basically handed that game to the Steelers on a silver platter. What did you make of not only the game yesterday, but what that means for this group as they move forward here throughout the rest of the regular season?
Well, unfortunately, I had two emotions going yesterday. The first half, I thought I was going to be completely wrong and was really happy about that, because all last week I predicted that Pittsburgh was going to win this game. And I was looking in the first half going, they're not going to win this game. The Titans are just simply the better team. This Pittsburgh team just isn't very good. And then, you know, and I thought, to me, like the backbreaker, I don't know about backbreaker. That wasn't the backbreaker. To me, the telling sign of at halftime, like, I don't feel great about this, where you think you should feel really good, is they didn't score on that. They basically chewed up an entire quarter with that drive, and they came away with a field goal. And instead of it being 13-3, it should have been 17-3. And I think that feeling would have been there. Like, okay, Pittsburgh's not coming back. I know. We just watched them last Thursday in Minnesota. They're more of a second-half team. They get off to these slow starts. But still, I was sitting there at 13-3 going, gosh, you just had this long drive. You, like I said, you just about chewed up the entire quarter, and you came away with a field goal. Did love it. And then, you know, when the turnover started happening, I was like, this isn't happening. This is, they're going to lose this game. And then I felt the other emotion of, well, it looks like I'm going to be right, unfortunately. They're not beating this team, and this team isn't very good. The Steelers aren't. They were playing for their lives. I mean, they knew the season was over if they lost, and they showed like they were the more desperate team, and the Titans were willing to keep giving them the ball, and I guess, as they say, the rest is history.
Yeah, one thing we haven't talked about, you know, there were like 59,000 announced attendance yesterday at Heinz Field, which is 10K short of a sellout, and it was, I mean, and you know, usually announced as higher than actual, it was lower. I mean, this town is basically like already punted, I feel like, on this team. They were booing early. Like, it was, everybody was ready for this. Just like, okay, put them out of their misery, move on. Who's the next quarterback and all that stuff. And the Titans just decided to, you know, just to hand them a game. I hope for the NFL watching public, non-Steelers fans, they don't make the playoffs, because my gosh, are they hard to watch.
Joe, to your point, we went to Pittsburgh on Friday and had Jim Colony on, who does radio there. I mean, I couldn't believe how down he was. I mean, we got done with the interview, and I'm looking at Chase, you know, and going, what just happened? Man, they are, you talking about a city that sounds like they hate this team. He really didn't have hardly anything good to say. Like, you expect Steelers, you know, in Pittsburgh, them to push back no matter what, right? They're just used to always winning and being good. And, like, how dare you say bad things about our Steelers? Like, we don't take that crap. Like, I expected that. He's like, yeah, they suck against the run. This team couldn't stop. I mean, he was just going on and on. I was like, wow, this is not the interview that I expected. So to your point, yeah, I kind of feel like he was just kind of like speaking like the fans, what you just described the fans were doing.
Yeah, and they're not too high on this team. They shouldn't be. They're bad, but they won. So we've been, you know, trying to like assess blame here, Darren, as you look at the offensive woes, which is just, and there's so many, what's the biggest problem and what of the problems do you think can be fixed?
Oh, well, I will say this. I put out a tweet after the game because my mind was racing and, you know, I probably felt like you guys, everybody else who was watching, just what just happened? Like, you know, kind of like, unfortunately, we've had this feeling a couple times this year with the Jets game and the Texans game. Like what just happened? You know, we sat here last week and talked about who's kidding here? That was a really pretty underwhelming victory last week, right, over the Jags. I mean, that was a bad, bad football team. And quite honestly, game probably should have been about a 10-0 final, which, you know, it's a win, but it's like, really? Like, that team had punted on their season. You're at home. You got everything to play for. You're coming off a bye week. And it really wasn't inspiring, but it was a win. Okay. But you come away with this one going, wow. You're back to that feeling again of this. I don't know. Like, is this going to get better? I mean, I guess, you know, if we can all sit here and say the reports, if it's all true and he comes back and he's back to his old self and the city rises up and everybody goes crazy. Yeah, I mean, I guess if Derrick Henry comes back, but we don't know. So I put out a tweet saying, look, this team is just one-dimensional. They ran for over 200 yards. They have no passing game whatsoever. The defense isn't worried about their passing game. And the only chance they have of fixing that, I mean, literally the only chance, is to get A.J. Brown back. And I said, Julio Jones is going to be a non-factor the rest of the year. So stop even trying to get excited if he suits up or they think he's going to be active. He's a non-factor. And I honestly thought, the reason I'm bringing this up is I thought, you know, this is where people are just going to come at me and, oh, my gosh, just watch. Watch. The flood walls are going to come down and, yeah, this team. No. It's kind of like the Pittsburgh interview. It was like I couldn't believe, one, the reaction that I got on Twitter. And the reaction was, yeah, true statement. Yeah, boy, there's nothing been more said that's truer than that. And I was just like, what's happening? And so that concerns me, too, because it feels like all the responses that I got was like, yeah, that's it's not good. And if that's the case, then how do you fix that? How do you fix it? Julio Jones is a non-factor. Just push him off to the side. Look, I was in favor of bringing him here. It's not going to work, and it was the wrong move. He is not going to be a factor. He's not going to get past the hamstring. He is not a factor. I mean, in pick six on Friday – one of my questions was, Julio Jones receiving yards, 49 and a half yards. I said, my goodness, if this was September, I would have said, over, top shelf. I wouldn't even have thought about it. Over, top shelf. We're sitting here in December, and guess what I took? The under. Why? Because now we know what he is. I mean, he's just not going to help. Who's going to help this team?
Well, you could have set that over under at 1.5 and still been under. There you go.
I know. Yeah, thank you, Robbie. I mean, that could have gone way, way lower. But that's my point. I mean, A.J. Brown is their only – they get nothing. I've been saying this for weeks, and it's not like this is – you know, I have to have degrees on the wall or saying, I've been watching football longer than you to see this. Everybody can see it. The tight ends are killing this team. Like, it's a position John Robinson has to address this offseason. I've been saying this for weeks. Like, Anthony Firkser has been so incredibly underwhelming this year. Remember when everybody was like, Anthony Firkser, just watch. I'm telling you, maybe he's not exactly as good as Johnny Smith, but it's going to be really close. That fall off isn't going to be much. Yeah, that fall off is gigantic. They've got nothing from their tight ends. And then now you throw to Anthony Firkser, and when he does catch it, he coughs it up. It's like, so you can't get anything out of the tight ends. Josh Reynolds leaves because he didn't want to be here. I want to know why. I want to know why he didn't want to be here. Why? What was the riff? What did he not? It's not the food. It's not traffic. What did he not like? Is it him and Vrabel didn't get along? What was going on behind the scenes? Because all he's done is gone to Detroit, and yesterday he was targeted 6 times. He had 6 catches for 68 yards and a touchdown. He keeps, all he does is he's gone to Detroit and catch balls and touchdowns. Why? So why couldn't he get on the field here? Like, I want to know why Josh Reynolds wanted out. What was the riff going on behind the scenes? What What drew him to say that? Does anybody know?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty obviously because he wasn't playing. Isn't that it? He couldn't get on the field.
Why can't they have
AJ Brown and Julio? Well, I mean, I think that's the better question, you know, although when he left, AJ Brown and Julio Jones were the lineup, he couldn't beat out Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. I mean, period. He could not get past Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, whether you like that decision or not, he couldn't. So he wasn't playing here. I mean, I think that's why he wanted out.
I mean,
let's also remember that the Lions.
Go ahead. I just saying, you're telling me he's not a better option than Cody Hollister and Racy McMath, who, you know, Racy McMath, you know, he coughs it up yesterday. He's a rookie. I get it. But Cody Hollister, I mean, he's not better than these guys. All he's got in Detroit is catch balls. Thanksgiving, he had 70 yards and a touchdown on Thanksgiving. I get it. He's had the relationship with Jared Goff. I get it. Everybody thinks Jared Goff stinks and the Lions stink. So why has he gone there and he's done all right? Why can't he get on the field for them? But he couldn't get on the field with this receiving core? Really? Like, there was not a place for him on the field with this receiving core. Like, it was too much of a crowded house?
Well, he would now, though. No, but that's the thing. He would now. Heck yeah. He'd be ahead of Hollister and McMath now. Absolutely. But when he left, those guys weren't in the receiving core.
I know. I'm perplexed. Then why can't you say that? Like, it's a long season, Josh. Settle down, man. Bodies are going to fall. Look at this team. Could somebody have said something? Like, why was it like, I want out of here? Okay, fine. Get out of here. I mean, really? I mean, I don't know. I'm confused on why it was so easy for them to punt Josh Reynolds. I mean, you brought him in here on a nothing contract, a nothing, very friendly contract. And this team cannot pass the ball. They have no threat whatsoever. I don't have the numbers in front of me. What did Tannehill throw in the second half, Joe? 35 yards? What was his passing yards in the second half?
That's a good question. I can find it. I can find it.
My guess is 35 yards in the second half. A team you're beating 13-3 on the road, and you come out and you can run all over them. They can't do anything against you, and you throw for 35 yards. That means you have no passing game whatsoever. And, oh, by the way, the Steelers are not some shutdown defense against the pass. What were they, middle to below the league?
37. 37.
There you go.
You better give them those 2 yards.
37.
There you go. I guessed 35 yards, and it was 37. 37 yards. They passed for in the second half.
Pretty unbelievable. Darren, last thing for you here. Obviously, there's never a good time to be going through COVID issues if you're the Predators, and this is a league-wide thing at this point. But when you cranked out as many wins in a row as this Predators team has, I think you'd certainly like to be playing hockey right now. They've been playing some pretty good hockey as of late.
It's so impressive. I think I've said it the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to keep saying it because they're fun to watch. They're easy team to root for, and it's amazing when you think about what happened in their last two games. By the way, their last two back-to-backs, they went 2-0, right? They went 4-0 in their last two back-to-backs. And what a performance in Chicago. What a performance against Colorado. Bodies just keep falling. Borowiecki, add him to the list, and it's like, okay, like how many more people can they lose and the league's going to let them keep playing when they're shutting teams around? Well, yeah, you're right. It doesn't matter. This team is getting production from everywhere. Tommy Novak gets his first career NHL goal. Colton Sissons is playing out of his mind right now. Tanner Jeannot gets his first power play goal in the Colorado game, gets his first overtime goal in Chicago to beat the Blackhawks. This team, it doesn't matter who they put in there. As long as you're playing their style, a brand of hockey, they're getting it done. I mean, this is what John – by the way, I think that'll probably quiet the John Hines stuff down, right,
yeah,
for a while. I mean, everybody, all the people that – oh, my gosh, this guy's a joke. Like, you can't win with this guy, huh? Well, I think you've seen this is the style he's wanted. Do you think this is a good style for this team? I think so. I think it works. It's a fun team. It's a fun team to watch. They do things the right way. They don't take any crap, and they play hard. And who doesn't root for that? Who doesn't root for guys that play hard? And this team keeps winning. They won seven in a row, second in the division. And, yeah, you hate to see – you never get up from a heater, right? You never get up from the table on a heater.
Yeah.
This team's on a heater, and unfortunately, COVID got them, and they're going to be shut down until after the break. And we'll see if the break cools them down or if they can pick up where they left off.
Darren McFarland joins us every week here on Robbie and Rex Road at 9 o'clock. Of course, you can hear him every day here on 102.5 The Game from 10 to 2. Darren, thanks for joining us. Looking forward to the show coming up here in about 43 minutes, if my math is correct. Intersville High School.
We're pretty good. We're pretty good at this math stuff.
Yeah, we are.
And enjoyed it as always. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you tune in to Smashville Live on Wednesdays this hockey season. The show airs on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Michelle Knezovic very upset. Louisville and Kentucky on Wednesday has been canceled at this point due to positive COVID tests within Louisville's program. So here we are again, college basketball, big college basketball matchups being canceled.
How come it has to happen during basketball season? We were going so strong in football, and now my dreams are just being crushed.
Well, this will help you not lose and get to the NIT. It's probably a good thing for Kentucky, be my guess. What do you think, Joe?
Ooh, man. I mean, they did just beat UNC by 30, man. So
I don't even care. You can say UNC's bad or whatever. They beat them by 30.
Yeah, that's a pretty good win.
What, Robbie?
That's a pretty good win.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They might actually get to the NCAA.
Might get to the NCAA tournament. And
you guys better just hope they don't make a big run, because you will never hear the end of it.
Cows are goats. They're not going to make a big run. I know that. It's fine. I'm not worried about that. Just giving it to them.
Love all right. It. We'll see.
Sure, I'm the favorite of Kentucky fans on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Thanks to Darren for joining us in the last segment. Lots of thoughts about Josh Reynolds on the text line as well. That's been a very popular topic of conversation today. Josh Reynolds, 6 catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown yesterday for the Detroit Lions. Look, you know, it sure be nice to have Josh Reynolds right now. It didn't work out here with the Titans. To your point, if the Titans can kind of look into the future back then and see what was going to happen to their receiver core, probably would have found a way to get Josh Reynolds on the field, but right now, it just kind of is what it is. Lots of talk today about Golden Tate, too. Like, I guess my thought is, if they thought Golden Tate could help them at this point, he'd probably be on the field ahead of Cody Hollister. That tells me more that they've not really been impressed with what they've seen from Golden Tate.
Yeah, and you brought up earlier, I think it means specifically they prefer Chester Rogers over him.
Yeah.
So I think that's where he'd be playing. You know, so it's important with Josh Reynolds to remember the order of things, right? So that's what we were kind of going through with D-Mac. I mean, you know, you've got a full receiving core when he asks out, and you don't realize who you're going to be missing down the road. So I think right now, if John Robinson could sign up to bring Josh Reynolds back, he'd do it. And Josh Reynolds would have played yesterday over McMath and Hollister. I'm confident in that.
Well, all that's fine, and I agree. But it is, and we talked about this at the time, like, he was brought in to be your number two. When Julio was brought in, you thought Josh Reynolds would be three, and it feels like that was never even that was never even close to being what happened on the field. So it is kind of strange that, all right, well, he's been productive. Like, it's not like he was just this guy in L.A. He's a good player, especially the last year he was there. Productive player. It is kind of strange that it never even seemed to be a possibility with him here that he could be the number three wide receiver.
Yeah, but let's also remember that he barely participated in camp because of an injury. I mean, it's kind of some bad luck timing part of this too. He couldn't get on the field. Westbrook Akeem is having this great camp. Marcus Johnson's having this great camp. So he gets pushed down. He was, I mean, technically he was their number one receiver when they played the Jets, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
So he did have a little window there where he was in the lineup, but yeah, it clearly wasn't a good fit. And I think injury part of it, but also I think, look, how much does Vrabel talk about playing off the ball as receivers? Talks about it all the time. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and even like a Cody Hollister, for example, like they do what they want them to do in all aspects of the offense. So I think that's part of the answer too. They could use them though. There's no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you look at it now, he's playing really well for the Detroit Lions, and yeah, it'd be nice to have him on the field right now. To Darren's point, like you look at this passing attack for the Titans. I had somebody tweet me earlier. Attack? What are you talking about? There's no attack for the Titans in their passing game right now. I guess I didn't realize that it was 37 yards in the second half yesterday. It's even worse than I thought. 37 yards in the second half.
Well, and remember, we've talked about how there were times where they opted to pass.
Yeah.
When they probably should have run the ball. So even with like too much passing, they had 37 yards of production. I didn't realize it was that bad either. That's bad.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, get a little bit more into the Julio Jones stuff as well. Hurt once again yesterday, and should Titans fans just be done with number two at this point? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How disappointing is it to lose Julio again?
It's just disappointing to lose. I mean, it's just, man, we worry about, we concern ourselves with everybody's health. You know, no different than anybody else, whether it's somebody's ankle or shoulder. You know, just disappointing to lose.
Yeah, how much to follow up on the Julio, how much did that affect things, having to race in there and move?
Right. We're ready for anything that comes up. That's our job, is to be ready to make sure that there's guys out there that are ready to go, whether they had a lot of reps in practice or didn't have a whole lot of reps. And those things happen, and we're used to it, and I know that we're ready for it.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday after a 19-13 loss for the Titans against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They fall to 9-5. Now just a one-game lead, that's technically two, against the Indianapolis Colts, who have improved to 8-6 over the weekend. So really interesting coming down the stretch here for the Titans, and it looks like they're going to be without Julio Jones at least for a little bit here. Julio Jones leaving the game yesterday again with a hamstring injury. So he comes back for the Jacksonville game, gets through the game healthy, 4 catches, 33 yards. Nothing especially noteworthy for Julio in that game other than getting through the game healthy. And then yesterday, 0 catches, 0 yards, 1 target on the day, and yet here he finds himself again back dealing with a hamstring injury after he's been put on IR this year. He basically had 4 weeks off to try and heal up from this thing, and here he is again, hurt with a hamstring injury. And Joe, honestly, like, I know this is not a groundbreaking statement or anything. If you're a Titans fan, I mean, you just can't count on this guy. I mean, it is what it is at this point. He's a Hall of Fame player. He is arguably the best receiver of this generation, and his body has just gone the other way at this point. He can't stay healthy. The hamstrings have been an issue for more than a calendar year now at this point, and this idea that Julio Jones all of a sudden is going to figure it out and stay healthy and be a big factor for the Titans coming down the stretch, technically, I guess, is still possible. I'm 0% confident that we're going to see it at this point.
I don't know how anybody could be confident at this point. It's clearly he can't get over the hamstring. And I guess my question would be, what's the bigger disappointment right now? Clowney last year or Julio this year?
Man, I mean, given the fact that Julio is a Hall of Fame player and maybe the best receiver of his generation, I'd probably go Julio, but it's close. By the way, Clowney looks okay so far this year.
Right. So that's the thing. In a couple of years, Julio's going to go absolutely tear it up with like the Seahawks or something.
Yeah.
You know,
Lions.
But. Yeah, there you go.
Julio and Josh Reynolds just taking names for the Lions for years to come.
Oh, man, Dan Campbell, so many victory celebrations in the locker rooms. I think that the difference between those two, of course, is that, you know, Clowney was a one-year flyer. You know, you took on a guy you badly needed pass rush. It didn't work out. I mean, Julio, you committed. You're committed to him next year, too,
yeah.
Really. I mean, you're committed to him. So not only are you hoping against hope that, like, he can do something for you this year, you got to hope he has a good offseason and somehow is Julio Jones as we know him or knew him next year. And that can't be a comforting thought. It was a big gamble to take on his deal, then restructure the deal, trade a second-round pick. Again, I liked the move at the time. I liked the Clowney move at the time. Both of them are looking like they're going to be bad deals for the Titans.
Well, and we had Chris in Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, ask if the Titans are, you know, financially responsible for Julio next year too. Yeah, I mean, his dead cap money is $13.2 million next year. I think he's got a little bit over 14 as a cap hit if he's on the roster. So, like, I mean, Julio Jones, you're going to be paying him next year, one way or the other. So this is a multi-year thing with Julio Jones at this point.
His cap number, 4-1 this year, goes up to 14-3 next year. So along with Tannehill's number going way up. And like you said, this is overthecap.com. The dead money, 13-2. In 2023, which, I mean, I don't think he'll be here, but, like, you know, even then, the dead money is $8 million. I mean, it's going to be costly. And, I mean, the only answer to make this remotely, like, digestible is for him to somehow get healthy and be great again. It just after yesterday, yeah, I don't know how anybody could have any confidence in that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he got hurt yesterday, and he didn't catch a pass. Like, you know, they got him one target, and it was basically like, you know, an 8-yard in route into the end zone. And, you know, everybody thinks he may have gotten hurt on the play where Ferkser fumbles the ball and Julio's going to try and recover it. Maybe he did, but, like, the hamstring injury, it's not like he was just breaking down the field and all of a sudden the hamstring pops on him. He wasn't even involved in the offense yesterday when he got hurt.
Right, the first play of the game, clearly, and that's the thing too, is you heard last week, like, man, like, he looks good. He's running well, because I thought he looked very ordinary last week. But this week was a good week for him, to the point that the first play of the game is a play action trying to get a deep shot to him, and he runs well on the play. But somewhere in there, inevitably, the hamstring's going to act up on him. And, yeah, it did look like he pulled up after the Ferkser fumble. He did play after that, and the target came later. So multiple plays where he heard it, but it's just like, I mean, you know, I'm sure it's got to be incredibly frustrating for him. And it's not what Falcons fans were, you know, who were warning the Titans fans about what was going to happen. It's none of that stuff. It's just a guy whose body is starting to betray him.
Right, and now the question is, you know, and I threw this out there to you earlier, like, part of the reason there were some big hopes for this group was, yes, you have Derrick Henry, you have A.J. Brown, and those two guys, hopefully, at some point here not too far away, are back and are back to being big factors for this team. We'll see, especially on the Derrick Henry front, if that's the case. But a big part of that also was Julio Jones and this offense looking close to what we've seen from Julio Jones throughout the rest of the the rest of his career. And I guess my question is, like, I don't envision him being anywhere near that, even if he's healthy as they move forward down the stretch here. And if that's the case, how does that change the way you view the Titans in terms of what a threat they could be in the AFC? Like, how much of a difference does that make in your mind based on what we've seen out of the rest of the AFC so far this year?
Well, what you need this offense to be is last year's offense.
Yeah.
So, how you get that done is you have Derrick Henry available, which is, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen there. You have AJ Brown available and playing like he did last year, like he did for about 3 weeks this year, playing like a star. And then Nick Westbrook-Ikhina taking advantage the way Corey Davis did last year. I mean, that, and, you know, Corey Davis is better than Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, okay? I mean, that's not a news flash, but I was told internally that they thought that Westbrook-Ikhina could do a lot of the same things and that there were some parallels between them. And if A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry are stars for you and are healthy, then there are other players who can benefit. You don't have the Julio Jones pick your poison thing. That's never, and I don't think that's ever going to materialize. But if you have those two stars back, then other guys should be able to benefit. And that's who I look at. I look at Westbrook Akina. And the tight end position is what it is. It's not great. Chester Rogers here and there, whatever. But I think it's Westbrook Akina is the guy who has to be your two.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, contrary to popular belief, I am not a soothsayer, but I said trade Julio while you can. You shouldn't have gotten him and shouldn't have altered the contract either. Joe Rex Road Julio continues. So Heidi coming up with another nickname for you as well.
Very good, Heidi. And I got to say to you, when were they going to trade him? I mean, how and when was that going to happen? I mean,
well, I don't know, but I do remember Heidi texting in like in week four saying they need to trade Julio Jones. So I guess credit to her there.
I mean, you signed up. Yeah. I mean, so I give you credit if early in the season you were like, nope, it's not going to work out. But like there's no you've locked yourself in with Julio at that point. No one else would be like, yes, yeah, we'll take that off your hands. You know, after you restructured everything. And I mean, it's, you know, you're stuck with him and you're stuck with him year two. So the Julio watch is far from finished around here.
It is far from finished around here. And it's one of those things too, where, I mean, look, I know maybe there are some that are still holding out hope of, well, you brought him in for the playoffs anyway. Maybe that's when he can shine for you. And if he gives you one great game in the playoffs and he's the difference between being put out in the divisional round and maybe advancing to the AFC title game, then it's worth it. And look, maybe that is. Maybe that's the case, but it's hard to see that at this point. Like, I've even been a guy that, and we've talked about it here on the show, like, I've held out hope that Julio can be a guy that helps you in the playoffs, and at this point, I just don't see it. Like, I just don't believe that's going to be the case with him because he can't stay healthy. And look, let's be honest. Like, even when he has been healthy, or I guess healthy by his standards this year, he's not looked the same out there as he's looked in his career. Not even close.
No. Week two at Seattle, that's really it. And that was a long time ago. That was a long time and many, many injuries and wild results ago. And you put him to the side. I agree with what Darren McFarland said earlier. You know, when you talk about what's going to happen with this team, you put him to the side and you don't even worry about it. And you hope A.J. Brown is the next good bit of news for you, because you put A.J. Brown in this offense and he's full go, and you could still have a functioning NFL offense even before you get Derrick Henry back. If you get Derrick Henry back.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a good question from Wayne coming up next as well that I want to get Rex Road's reaction to. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. By the way, shout out to Bruce Arians and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Making the decision announced this morning, Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards, the safety, coming back to the team after they misrepresented their vaccination status. Bruce Arians saying, quote, yeah, it's in the best interest of our football team. Both of those guys have served their time, and we'll welcome them back. Obviously, you lose Mike Evans last night, and Chris Godwin had announced his MCL sprain. And magically, Antonio Brown is back, baby. What do we think of this, Rex Road?
Shocking. Shocking development. I think he was going to come back either way, but yeah, it's quite the timing after last yes. night. The Pharaoh, the GOAT, managing 0 points. 0 points.
It was
against the Saints at home.
Was the first wow. time in his career that he's been shut out. First time Tom Brady's been shut out.
Yeah. Well, no one should ever get shut out in the NFL, should they?
So you move down to like 6th on your greatest quarterback list now. Dan Fouts back ahead of Brady at this point.
I told you he's the GOAT. I'm not moving off that. But it's a good little glimpse, a reminder that, like, you know, the quarterback has limitations if everything around him breaks down.
It does. So we'll see what happens on that front. My guess is, I don't even know who they play next. I think it's like Carolina. Brady's probably going to throw for like 7 touchdowns on Sunday. So looking forward to that. That'll be congratulations, Carolina, for what you're about to endure next week. Kind of like the Lions or the Cardinals and the Colts, man. Could get the Colts. This could be good timing for the Titans. Get the Colts out there against the Cardinals.
Could be. Or we could be talking about a tied up race down to the finish, which I never would have guessed a couple weeks ago.
It was pretty incredible. I mean, look, the Colts, obviously, that's a big win against New England. You know, that's great for them at home. We'll find out a little bit more about them this week against what I still think is a good team in Arizona. I know they just got housed by the Lions. It's a weird year in the NFL. I still think it's a pretty good team. So we'll find out about them a little bit more. But, Joe, we got a short week this week. Game coming up on Thursday against the Niners. We'll start to dive into that a little bit more tomorrow. I will say my initial impressions based on the way both teams have been playing as of late, I do not like this for the Titans. I really don't.
No, I don't either. Look, it's a short week for both teams, and obviously you're talking about a West Coast team having to come east.
Sure.
And when the Niners looked at the schedule, I'm sure they were like, gosh, so not only do we have, you know, a Thursday night game late in the season, but it's like all the way over in Nashville. Not great, but they're playing really well. They've figured a lot of things out. I thought they were a contender. I think the Colts and Niners, actually, those are to me the team in each conference that I would not want to mess with in the playoffs. That's not on the top tier of teams, right? Niners are physical. They run it. Garoppolo's playing well off that run game, and, you know, their defense can absolutely get after the QB. So this is a bad matchup for the Titans, and the way they're playing offensively, they're going to need their defense to rise up again and have an epic night for them to win this game. And they might want to stop turning it over.
Well, and hopefully, you know, there's some good news on the A.J. Brown front this week. I think he's eligible to come back this week, and I don't know whether or not he will, but as we know, I mean, they need A.J. Brown badly. Obviously, it goes without saying, you need to have A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry on the field. That would be the case no matter what situation we're talking about with the Titans. It's even more dire now. Like, they got to have A.J. Brown out there, even if it's not – like, I still – you know, you look at this offensive line, especially in this matchup with, like, Nick Bosa – screaming down on Tannehill, like, you're probably not going to be able to just sit back there and throw the ball deep, but just to have an outlet to get the ball too quickly for A.J. Brown, you need to have him back in this game. And not only back, it'd be great to have him back and at full strength as well.
It's critical, and it could make a huge difference. I mean, the playmakers, man, you gotta make plays in this league. They don't have playmakers right now on offense. By the way, Joey from Gallatin texts in, no, this was actually Brady's third time being shut out. And in fact, they did show last night because Nick Saban's Dolphins shut him out in 06.
Well, I should have said at home. It's the first time he's ever been shut out at home.
Ah, okay, I got you. Did you say we had a good question to answer, or did we get to that already?
No, I did. It's from Wayne on the text line. I don't know if you'll think it's a good question, but I'm just interested to see your response in it. It says, how many swings and misses does John Robinson get before he's out? It's coming from Wayne on the text line.
Has he been fired yet? He should be fired today, right?
Yeah. They're only 9-5, man.
What's Amy Adams Strunk doing? He's only got 6 straight winning seasons with a 9-5 team that's about to win the division for the second year in a row. Fired. That's sarcasm. Look, you got to keep the big picture in mind. There are some moves that are very much not working out. And look, last couple off seasons, I think you could say have been bad. And they're also in position for them to be go-for-it off seasons because of the team he's built.
Right. I mean, it can be two things. There's a lot of moves that are not going well. Still, you're judged by what the overall picture looks like, and the overall picture largely has been pretty good for the Titans. Dennis texting in, Does this situation cause the Titans to rush Derrick Henry back too soon?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
No. No way. I mean, that. First of all, Derrick Henry coming back will not be the Titans' call. Derrick Henry coming back will be Derrick Henry's and the doctor's call. The Titans will be like, oh, goody, when he comes back. They're not going to be like, Derrick, really need you this week, buddy. That's not happening.
Well, it was interesting because, and look, I don't know if they were just throwing this out there yesterday for the sake of conversation or if, like, they've heard something. But Nance and Romo on the broadcast were talking about, yeah, I mean, it could be 2 weeks. And Derrick Henry's back in there right before the playoffs start, and he's available. So I don't know where that's coming from, but that's what Jim Nance said on the broadcast yesterday.
I would say the very first possible date would be January 2nd. And look, it is possible that that is a must-win game, yeah, along with the last game for this team to even to be in the playoffs, honestly. So I would start the possible clock there. I still think it would be later, but, you know, I mean, again, this is going to be how things are going on a daily basis with him. I saw him at the facility last week rolling around on a little cart with his foot up, you know. He's in there working. So it's how things are going and when he's ready to give the green light. But I would say I would not rule out January 2nd.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be – it's interesting to see that. Like, I keep thinking back to, all right, you just gave away a game from the Steelers yesterday. You lost to the Texans. You lost to the Jets. If you just take care of the Jets and the Texans, you're fine right now. I mean, you are totally fine heading down the stretch here. And those two games are going to end up, I think, definitely costing you the one seed at this point. And who knows what's going to happen from here. Like, this is a big one Thursday night against San Francisco. I like the way San Francisco's playing. You got a Miami team that I still believe is a little bit fraudulent, but they have won six games in a row after that. And then the Texans with the best quarterback in the league, Davis Mills, taking over to start play. So lots down the stretch coming for the Titans.
Yeah, but we could be talking a whole bunch about Davis Mills.
Yeah, we could.
I mean, it's not a stretch to think that we could spend an entire week on your guy coming up soon.
Big win for Davis Mills yesterday. How many people do we think watched the Texans and the Jags in that battle yesterday?
Yeah, I'd like to see the TV coverage map. Like, was it even on in Jacksonville and Houston? Like, maybe like just parts of those cities? I need the coverage map.
I don't know, but hey, big win for the Texans. Apparently, Urban wasn't the problem. They just need to call him back up. Wasn't the problem. Get him back in there.
I mean, yeah, they did. I thought maybe there'd be like a weight lifted and you responded by, you know, but it was just basically, well, we just stink. How about that? We just stink. Urban or no Urban.
Total cheeks. I don't think there's any question about it. Joe Rexroad will be back with us here tomorrow in studio. He is live in Pittsburgh right now, and we'll continue to break down the Titans as they have a big one coming up on Thursday night against the San Francisco 49ers. That's going to do it for us here today on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Make sure you stay tuned for Darren Donick and Chase. That's coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Saving money on everything for your next project. Now at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes. Whether you're pouring a walkway, concrete slab, or setting a post, we have the right product at the best price to complete your project. Shop our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save.